Jeroboam said, it mustn't happen. Hey, devil said, that's why I'm here. It must not happen. I'm your friend. I'm on your side. So we're going to arrange it so it does not happen. Jeroboam said, yes. So what do we do? Hey, tell them not to go and worship. That was the point. He just simply tempted Jeroboam. Jeroboam therefore built two idols. One in Dan, I think. The other one where now? Beersheba or somewhere. Anyway, he built two idols, one at two extremes of Israel, and said, you don't need to go to Jerusalem again to go and worship. What am I saying? What did he do? He bowed to the devil so that he can hold on to a kingdom that God gave to him. The devil, listen, is temptation. When God had given him that power, the devil said, let's see how we'll collect it from him. That's what he did. And that's what he was offering the Lord Jesus Christ also. The idea is that once they give you this power, use it to serve us. You know, I've told you before. There's what the Bible calls, well, I started using that expression, turning your stones to bread. There are some things I say openly now so as to help people. Listen, what do I mean by turning your stones to bread? All the any power you have, you want to use it to make money. It's called turning your stones to bread. You will not endure. They put you in government office. You're supposed to be signing documents. After a while, I realized that these documents are so important. Maybe like, what do you call this thing now? CFO as an example. How can a man buy land for 10 million naira and I'll just sign the CFO free of charge? Do you see? What is it? Turning your stones to what? Bread. Therefore, you start charging everybody that comes 500,000. Without which you won't sign it. You are falling for the temptations of the devil. He said, bow to me and I will give you all these houses and fine cars. Why? Because he knows you have authority already. He said, use that one to serve me. Then I will give you other things. And that's what he's doing. That's what I call turning your stones to bread. When you use the authority you have to convert it to money, just make up your mind. Listen, you must always convert it to money. That's why I warn preachers, don't ever be a money raiser. You will not endure. Those who are not listening to me, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to those of you that listen to me. You're listening to this message. Don't ever be a money raiser. It's an evil thing that preachers do today. It is wickedness. Because what are you doing? I'll tell you. As you are here now, let me try it. Everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody right, put up your right hand. Can you see? You are doing everything I'm saying. It's called power and authority. If I tell you, hold your neighbor by the shirt and say, today, today, you will have held it and said today, voice, ah, pastor, what's that one? It takes a while, do you understand? And that's what happens. That's what, you see, let me see, that's what preachers fall for. Because you have power. Look, all of you have left everything you have to do this evening. Important people that you are. You've left everything. And I'm standing here with the microphone, able to command. I just told an adult, get up and go and sit outside. And everybody laughed. Nobody was offended. You see what I'm saying? It's called what? Power and authority. I can decide to use it and turn it, you know, called turning stones to bread. I just decided that, Abba, we need money. Today, if you want your life to just come to a new beginning, hallelujah. And you see, when I say it convincingly, you will believe it. Don't think you are strong. Don't think you are strong. In fact, even if you are not sure, just to be sure, you never can. You know, this man may just know what he's saying. Get up, go and empty your account. There was one man who did it in Calabar. Today is not the same. One did it in Lagos. You now look and say, after all, if I empty the account once, I can refill it later. So let's just try it. I'm not talking to most people. I'm talking to preachers. Be warned. Ken Hagin said, the Lord spoke to him and said, be careful about money. Be careful about money. Go and read Demo Shakarian. Demo Shakarian talked about the preacher that came to preach for him. Powerful minister. Last day, he spent 2 hours raising money. 5 years later, he was broke. He came to beg for transport money. A few years later, after that, he was dead. He was less than 40 in all of this. That is, the time he died, he was still not 40 years old. The time he was shaking the nations, he was 30-something. Be careful about money. That's what the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin. What am I pulling from there, all right, today? And that's the fact that, listen, be careful when you are turning your stones to bread. You know you are the Son of God. Why not? The fact that you can do it does not mean you should do it. You are getting the point I'm making. You know what I'm going to emphasize? The devil, that's what he does. He comes to try and entice people. Serve my purposes. I will give you this. Then people take their power and their authority. Then they start serving his purpose. Not realizing that the guy is not a fool. If he gives you a million, he knows you are worth 10 billion. He's not a fool. He makes profit on all of those deals. You obey him, you are losing. You just don't realize it. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen, what am I emphasizing? He said that this gives their power and the authority. So when God gives you power and authority, make sure you use it for his purposes alone. This is just side talk I'm talking. I'll get back to the main thing I'm saying. Therefore, I'll give as an example earlier. I know you will do what I say. You get my point? So what is my purpose? What is the purpose of God in your coming here? He wants to impart his word into your life. Are you getting my point? He wants to ensure, all right, that you are blessed. And I'm supposed to be working with him. So he has given me power and authority. So people are sitting down under the influence of my voice. What do I do with it? I make sure I cooperate what God wants to do. So I'll tell you, stand up, raise up your right hand and say after me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am a winner. Do you understand my point? I'm making you confess the word of God. I'm using the power and the authority to serve his purpose. You are getting what I'm saying? In life, be careful. If they put you in government office, don't turn your stones to bread. Just appreciation. At least in Nigeria of today, there are appreciation you should not even collect. As of today, in Nigeria, there was one guy in my office the other day. He came. I helped him out with some things. And I said, he came and said, okay, I left something on your table for you. I walked in there. In my mind, I said, if it is money, I'll give it back to him. I earn more than he does. 3 times what he earns. 4 times, I'm sure. Not even 3 times. What's he giving me money for? Nothing wrong with giving money. Nothing wrong with appreciating things. It's not that. It's not that, all right? I got in there, I found out it wasn't money, it was something like money. I just go and say, oh boy, come, take. Listen, I'm not saying there was nothing wrong with it. What he did was not bad. But there was a reason why he rejected the gift. It's the same reason why Elisha, all right, rejected the gift of Naaman. Normally, Elisha will collect gifts. He went to play. What did he, Shunammite woman, do for him? No big gift. But he said, Naaman doesn't get the point. Naaman is used to paying for everything. The Shunammite woman wasn't paying. She wasn't even asking for anything. She just gave to Elisha because he was a prophet. But but Naaman was coming straight from Syria. He didn't understand the principles. He's used to what we do now in Christianity. God cannot deliver yourself, you give an offering. You know those kind of lies. These are idolatrous lies. It has come into Christianity now. Every blessing, you have to give money towards it. You want to break a covenant, you give money to break the covenant. You know stupid things I will say these days. That was what Naaman was. That was where Naaman was coming from. So when he came into Israel, he encountered, Naaman didn't even know what was going on, you know that. He went to the king and with a letter, heal this man. And the man said, look at how he's looking for a quarrel so we can start fighting. Elisha had said, send him to me. What am I going to explain? He refused the gift of Naaman because Naaman was encountering the God of Israel for the first time. I'm making an issue here. That sometimes you do things just for this, just so you can break the mold that people already, that everybody is fitted into now. At times I go to a place, I know how to appreciate people. I just say, no, learn to do something without collecting something. What's wrong with you? Ah, welcome, sir. After you finish doing for me, I shake your hand and bless you and walk away. I have money. I can give you. I just refuse. Wake up to reality. You can do good and not get anything out of it. If you like, look me with bad eye tomorrow. It's your problem. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I know I'm saying many things. Let me try and focus on the main thing I'm supposed to say. Now, this is the point. So you see, for Jesus, all right, to overcome, we must be using our power, all right, and our authorities to serve his purpose. And as we are doing it, we will encounter things. That's what I'm going to make. You go to that office, there will be problems. Now, listen, you did not cause it. Yes, I think I've connected what I want to say now. You didn't cause it. You didn't start it. But you are the Lord and the King that's serving the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Therefore, remember, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. Let me explain what I mean by this. Something happened in my office a few days ago. And interestingly enough, as of now, I'm the head of the department. I have the human power and human authority to do some things, you understand? In the morning, of course, the day before on the phone, I've been raking, calling this person, raking, calling people and putting them in order. I shouted for some of my residents. The whole corridor came to a standstill, and I was in the room. I was really upset. Next morning, I was ready to go back and go and, you understand, continue the tirade that began yesterday. Then something struck me suddenly. Hey, that listen, you know, I can't give you the details. I said, the spirit of strife has come up again. I don't know whether I get my point. Listen, every evil work in this life, you see, has a demonic influence that enforces it. Now, listen, there are failings of the flesh. For example, now, hatred is just hatred. Do you follow? But sometimes, oftentimes, there is a spirit of hatred. Listen, you see what's happening with Boko Haram and all of that? There's a spirit behind it. There is a teaching, a lecture this man gave, an essay he wrote, a lecture he gave somewhere, then they published the papers. I'd like you to read it, by Bishop Kuka, the Catholic Bishop of Sokoto Diocese. You should read it. Beautiful. So you find out that these things, any evil work like that, you see it. You see that there is an evil spirit behind it. Rwanda, that crisis that happened a short while, those things are generated by evil spirit. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Oh, God, I pray that I don't get you confused or get myself confused or whoever listening to this. But let's get something clear. Let me say something quickly about the judgment of God. God judges, amen? And God is actually reluctant to judge. He judges when there are no intercessors or the power of the intercession is not up to the depth of the iniquity. I was listening to the Bible in the car today, and around Jeremiah chapter 14, I just heard God again command Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. You know why he said that? Because he knows when somebody begins to pray, he complicates matters. Do you understand the point? That I want to judge them. Don't just bring up the prayer matter. You're going to complicate the whole thing. I'm going to have an issue here. That even when you see judgment, judgment oftentimes is because there was no intercessor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oftentimes, that's what it is. So when you see those demonic, you know, actions moving on, and God is not seems not to be stopping them. In fact, he gave them the go-ahead when they demanded it. They can't start except they demand it. Because of accusations and all of that, he gave them the go-ahead. What he's lamenting is that I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and there was none. Therefore, I had to let these demons loose. What am I emphasizing? There are still activities of evil spirits. Therefore, when God introduces a man, a woman of mercy into the zone, listen, you must understand, there are spiritual things. Let me, you know, I said that the way, if you don't know the scriptures well, you wonder whether God is not normal. You understand my point? You tell Balaam, go. Balaam is going, say, I'll kill you. But you just said I should go now. Then an angel stands on the way and say, were it not for your donkey? That is, God said go. God sent an angel to kill him. Then sent somebody else to save his life. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, because a spirit entered into the donkey and moved in. Do you understand? And started avoiding death. God called Moses, two of us. On the way, God encountered him and wanted to kill him. Until Zipporah quickly understood what was going on, rushed, circumcised their son, and God put his sword back into the sheath and left. Ha! Were you not the one that called him? Hey, well, there's a God of Israel that loves the Israelites, and then there's a God of judgment that insists that his commandments must be obeyed. And that one had commanded, circumcised this boy, and Zipporah was in like, waiting. Don't you know he's small? He will cry. Now Moses leave and says, Zipporah, okay, do as you like. God said, Zipporah, do as you like. Fine. That this one won't go far. Now, I'm not bringing up an issue here. Sometimes we may not understand what God is doing. That we get confused with, is God here? Is he not there? You see, there are things that are set in motion by his divine laws. But then, having written the laws, he also wrote the principles of mercy. And the basis upon which mercy is shown. One of them is the power of the intercessor. So people have set things in motion that's going to scatter everything. God says, I know that has gone forth. But let's raise intercessors to stop my arm of judgment. Do you get the point I'm making? I was telling you that, so it happened that morning as I was in my house, suddenly I realized what was going on. I said, no, you must not let this happen. So I seized what I was doing and began, listen to this, to cast out the spirit of strife. I suddenly realized that I had fallen for something. Anger had come in. You know, human pride was rising up. And the devil said, guys, yeah, good, good, good. We are moving. Yeah, put temptation there. Let somebody hear something and misinterpret. That's how it works. Do you know something happened a few days ago? Somebody wrote a letter. You know, I heard some committees in the hospital. So, as the chairman, they wrote something to me. So, I wrote back to the fellow, say, you didn't put any comment, you just signed. When he was going to rewrite back, he abbreviated my position as CMAC. There is the second highest person in the hospital. The position is called CMAC, Chairman Medical Advisory Committee. That's the second highest person, CMD being on top. You know, the first thing that came to my mind, I gave you an instruction. You want to bypass me and go, do you understand? As the letter landed on my table, I looked at it. You know, human pride, like, I will smoke this man. You know that kind of... I just said, why will he do this? I said, thinking, why will he do this? This, I believe, was the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just let me understand. Wait. Look at the way he addressed it the first time. I looked. I saw... He wrote it wrongly, but it was abbreviated. C-M-A-C. So the next time he was going to write back to me, he just abbreviated the whole thing. And sent it back to my office. I misinterpreted totally that the letter was heading... That I made a decision, somebody wanted to bypass it and go to a higher office. So I was ready to pick the letter and walk straight to the CMAC's office. Good afternoon, ma'am. There's a problem here. I was ready to start that. When it just hit me that, no, the guy is writing to you, not to somebody else. Listen, that's how strife begins. I'm trying to explain. Little misunderstandings here and there. And don't think those things are mistakes. There is a spirit there winding it. Why should she say it like this? Slap her. You're a man. See, pride. Listen. Go and listen to what I said about 3 meetings ago. I said pride is the number one way by which demons enter. How can he talk to me? Am I his mate? I don't believe she said that. She does not respect elders again. It don't start. Number one way by which demons enter is called pride. Go and listen to the one we preached, I think, 2 weeks ago. You see, it's in there. In fact, I titled it, The Doors of Satan. Now, this is what I'm talking about. So, you see, the evil spirits, as they are walking and walking, sometimes, when we discern, that's another point, when we discern them, it is time to confront deliberately and put their actions to a stop. That's why I read the story from Acts chapter 16. For many days, this evil spirit was following Paul around. And for a while, Paul thought that it was just an irritation. He wants to start preaching. Somebody will say, hey, before the message starts today, I want you to know that these are men of God that have come, to come and show us the way of salvation. Listen, the fact that a man is gathering the congregation and shouting Jesus, 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 does not mean the person is a Christian. No, I've been warning you. Is there a young girl with a familiar spirit took up upon herself to promote the gospel that Paul and Silas were preaching. So you don't blame Paul for enduring it for some days. He thought that maybe I'm just in a bad mood. Because anytime she finishes speaking, something goes wrong with him. The message is not a move again. There are times the message is reaching a powerful end. Suddenly she will interject. Hey, believe it, causing a distraction. After a while, Silas looked at Paul. People are not getting saved, though. How many miracles we see yesterday? He said, oh boy, that meeting dry. Did you notice as you were about to start ministering, that girl began to speak? Are you getting my point? I'm going to issue here. It took him a few days before it struck him that look at this devil. At that point, he was provoked. And then he spoke directly to that evil spirit and drove it out of that situation. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Sometimes it happens. We don't realize what is happening. That's why I tell Christians, be careful how you judge. When you gather with them, you know, these northerners, these southerners, these Christians, these Muslims, these Boko Haram, once you start talking, and you're always talking on a shallow level. Are you getting my point? You have a problem. Let me tell you how Christians behave. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I think it was 2 days ago, from some friends, a pastor and his wife were in our house, were talking about how the IG of police removed checkpoints nationwide. You know, there are mixed reactions to it. A lot of people are very happy. A lot of people say it's a dangerous move. As soon as he finished talking, I just said, okay, in my mind, that's one thing we have to pray about. No, that's the way, that was my reaction. You know, these armed robbers, they are back. And I said, well, then they have to leave. There has to be order. You know, that's what I was thinking. So that night, I slept. During the night, I just woke up. Good. Where are the armed robbers? So, it became prayer point. Instantly started praying for wisdom for the IG. The man needs your prayer more than anything. If they make you commissioner of police for 1 week, you understand what the IG is going through. In fact, which one commissioner? DPO. Which one's commissioner? Let me make you DPO for 1 weekend. If you're not crazy. So imagine what pressure the IG is under. The man needs your prayer more than any other thing. Please, let me, so many things to say, and I want to finish in this thing today. Now, I'm talking about how Christians react. So when I found that thing out in my office, that was what I did. I said, you evil spirit of strife. I said, every evil work has, you know, an evil spirit pushing it on. The Bible says that where there is no stick, where there's no stick, the fire dies out. In the same manner, quarrel dies out when there's no talebearer. In the same manner, evil work dies away when there's no evil spirit. Listen, let me just tell you, by the way, as an example. I work in the morgue in UNT, it's under my department, so I'm in charge of it. And I've seen it everywhere, you know. If you know the rate at which policemen shoot armed robbers, you will be amazed that they still remain. I found out something. You shoot armed robbers, does not remove armed robbery. I don't know whether I hear what I said. When you shoot two armed robbers, the spirits inside them are released. Then they start looking for another stupid young man to enter. Every two you shoot, two or four, they are produced. What stops those works is not the outward actions. It is a spiritual battle that puts them to an end. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Because this, you know, the Bible says the word became flesh. Spiritual things usually take on human form. If there's a spirit of violence in a place, it has to enter into people. You can shoot that individual. The spirit of violence does not die by a bullet. It leaves him and goes somewhere else. It may take a while, but he will find eventually. He will find one young woman who's looking for money quickly. He will find one young man who says that, my father has been very stupid. They are abusing his father. That's a very good open door. The evil spirit jumps into it. He starts again. Then police catches him and shoots him. The evil spirit goes out again. So you keep on wondering, where are these things coming from? The truth is that you can shoot all you want. The evil spirit cannot be killed by a bullet. You have to decimate the whole population and leave only a few good men before the thing disappears, because he won't find somebody else to enter. And is that what you want? Listen, what causes those problems in the society is the prayers of the saints. I'm telling you. Now, I've been saying I'm going to tell you a number of stories. You know, time is going. There's something that was circulating. They call it the spirit of Sudan. I don't know how many of you read it. It was circulating all over the web. I normally have critical eyes for things. I read that one. I gave it a nod that this is in order. And I've heard that story again and again. In fact, there was a time Kenneth Hagin described a vision he saw in which he saw three huge beasts rising out of either the Pacific or the Atlantic, one of the coasts in America, and coming to invade the land. And he commanded the church to pray so as to divert them back to somewhere else. I've heard stories before, towards the end of apartheid. In fact, people said that the problem in Rwanda came up because something was supposed to happen in South Africa. But people prayed it away, so he had to look for the neighboring country to enter that did not have an intercessory cover. So that in 1 month, 500,000 people died. Those things are what? They are spirits. That's why I say, Christians, let's not waste our mouth with talking like unbelievers. Everything has a spiritual, backing. Look at this Boko Haram crisis as an example. People say negotiate. Government says with who? They have no agenda. What do you call those people? Militants in Niger Delta. They had an agenda. The agenda was what? Money. Resource control. You are spoiling our land. Things like this. We want a fair share of what you are taking from here. And they had leaders, they had names, they had addresses, they had people you could call and talk with. There is a spirit in that Boko Haram matter that began from somewhere. I told you from the beginning, this didn't start from Nigeria. If you just shout Nigeria, Nigeria, you are not informed. All you need to do is watch TV. You see Pakistan, Afghanistan, Sudan. They're all over the place. They're everywhere. So, the thing coming into the country, listen, you can JTF all you want. Because what will happen is that you shoot 10, the spirits leave those 10, look for 10 other young men. These things are spirits. I don't know what I can explain. Listen, I told you before that people said that, the Muslims, they are very strong in their religion, this and that. They will kill them. I said, listen, you are talking to people who are demon-possessed. It's not zeal. The spirit enters into them. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? What am I trying to bring out here? Listen, for peace to reign in the country like this, it's not because of JTF or the determination of the IG or the president. It is because you get up and tell the spirit enough is what? Enough. That's it. There are many things that go with it. Like I said, there are times God will say, pause for a while. The indignation will soon be over. But you must pray that prayer. You must pray that prayer. There are times, listen, like in a home, you see, the devil wants to enter and he loves to enter. I said something at the beginning. Let me not lose train of that of those thoughts. I was saying that's lose the thoughts, all right, the train of thoughts I was on. Explain something that, okay, you may not be the one that allowed in there. That was only explained. But God put you in there because, you see, I said before, your life is in order. Did I hear an amen? The devil doesn't just stroll in anyhow. It's risky. It's a risky deal. As far as you are concerned, his job now, deception, temptation, and accusation. What did I say? Deception, temptation, accusation. And you must learn to answer those ones. Deception, you need truth. Temptation, resist. Accusation, just confess the word. Forget the rest of it. Are you getting my point? Stand by the word. Don't accept these predictions. All right? Now, but you get into an office, you are not the one that opened the door for the spirit of strife. Are you getting my point? But God said, I have put you there to kick it out. And believe me, as Christians, we have territories. Listen, your office is your territory. Did I hear an amen? You can't kick out the spirit of strife in my department. It's none of your business. These people won't even listen to you. What didn't concern you? What's your business? The American cannot effectively pray away the crisis in Nigeria. It's none of his business. I remember I told a story once. I wrote in one of my books, I think Great Faith Can Be Yours. I had a discussion. I didn't realize it was like a discussion. It was just a prayer I was praying. But I took a firm stand once, and I told the devil he couldn't kill somebody in my clinic when I was 7. I had known the woman. She used to come with her children, Then one day she came. She had typhoid fever. In fact, I took the first woman came from the same household, treated her. She left. This one came shortly after that one. The other one got worse. She didn't get worse. She started getting worse. few days later, she was unconscious and all of that. Let's make a long story short.